Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if once Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the ability to recite durood once upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the reward for that one durood is such that Allah and His angels send 70 mercies on that individual. 70 rahmas. So praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, the initiation, the beginning of this majlis gathering, Allah Ta'ala is merciful and He allows us to start this gathering in such a way. And Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's durood, we start the gathering with sending the durood upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will, due to this action, inshallah, accept the rest of the actions of this majlis. So the request here is that this majlis, this gathering, us coming together, our desire and our intention according to this, then the points that have come into my mind I would like to share with you and to discuss with you. Because there's a point that I say pretty regularly, that we are gathered, and alhamdulillah, we have, all of us, an objective of dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance. But brothers, this generation, there's a lot of ghaflat and negligence and non-awareness of Allah's very, very, very serious situation. And the conditions that are around us at this moment in time are those that makes a person immersed in a ghaflat, in being lazy and negligent. And when a person becomes a ghafil, immersed in ghaflat, then he forgets his objective and life continues. The breaths continue to go in and out, but a person is then trapped within the life of non-awareness of Allah, non-awareness of the objective, non-awareness of himself or herself, where he or she is going, and time is wasted. Every day with our own eyes, we see people's janazas being performed in this masjid. There are people who we know and there are those who we don't know. And we see that others around that janaza, they pick up the mayyit, the deceased. And who desires that someone who you know, who is close to you, that he passes away or she passes away? And then we go and we dig the hole in the graveyard, and then we lower that body and cover it with soil, and we say, where's that person gone? And then we come back, we see their empty bed, their clothes hanging in the wardrobe, his watch, his attire or her attire. And then we have to accept that that person has gone. Where's that person gone? Allahu Akbar. That person has gone to such a place from where he or she will not come back, will never come back. And it will be a one-way journey. And it's just one thing that Allah Ta'ala is also calling us. That's what we should learn, that you also are going to come. And that deceased also calls out that, come after me, come after me. So in reality, we see this scene of the death with our own eyes. We have seen and we see, but still there's a veil on our hearts. We are so trapped in the life in this world that we forget the genuine, the real destination we're going to go to, that I'm going to be lowered into this, into the soil, into the earth, into the grave after death. And there's such a point, this discussion, that it's not just related to Islam. Alhamdulillah, everything, everybody in the universe is aware that even if a person believes or not, but he will or she will believe in the reality of death. There's nobody, nothing in this universe that can reject death. Death is a reality. But alhamdulillah, we have an awareness beyond this. We have a concept beyond this. A very big concept, a very big acceptance in Islam. We aren't those who are afraid of death. The person of Iman, who has belief, he will not fear death in the sense that, oh, I don't want to know that I'm going to die. No, because a person knows that we're going to die and be transferred from this world to another world. So from this world, planet Earth, we will be transferred to Barzakh, the life in Barzakh, in the grave. With the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah. So we're just being transferred from one place to another. So this world is the earth that we live on, and that is after death the life of the graveyards. the grave. But we don't want to know about it. We don't want to understand it or realize that this is going to happen. Now the point here, what I'm trying to say is that everything that's going to occur after death, we'll have to go to different places. We'll have to go to barzakh, then the qabr, the grave, and beyond that. What do we need to do before we reach to those places? What luggage or items do we need for this journey? Now, the point here is, as I said, that because we are trapped in the busyness of the world, then this makes a person unaware of what's going to happen. Now here we're in the majlis, the bayans of the ulama ikram, and Juma will come, the imam of the masjid will explain, then jamaats will come, who are propagating the deen and doing tabligh, and they will explain to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared so much to remove our negligence and ignorance that there's no limit to it. Allah ta'ala has prepared for our ignorance to be removed, but despite all of this, we are still trapped and immersed in ignorance and unawareness and negligence. And alhamdulillah, the reason for sitting here in this majlis is for us to crush the actions of ghaflat, of negligence and ignorance, because we are immersed, as I said. We are so busy with the ignorance that we need to catch this problem and eliminate it. We'll do this, won't we? Won't we? So first listen clearly. Sami'na wa ata'na. That's the point. There should be not just sami'na, that I'm going to listen. No, because I've made the request and I've not given a speech. And there's a point here. I need to think. You also need to think. I am worse than you, mashallah. You are many times over better than me. I am a ghafil insan. And I am ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala shukr, Allah shukr. Grateful we should be to Allah that we sit down, we talk to each other, discuss with each other. And it's obvious that in this point, a person should be selfish and think a lot about himself or self. So it's obvious, I'm not telling you. You are very pious people. I'm telling myself so that taqwiyat comes to me, so that I can also wake up, because I'm ignorant. Maut has not come yet. Death has not come yet. And the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that before a person sees death, if a person does tawbah, Allah says, I will still forgive that person. As long as it's just before death, even then. Now it's a great opportunity, night of Jummah, the night of Darood, and many rewards in this night. And the day to come is the day of Eid. Tomorrow, the day of Jummah, Friday. And Allah Ta'ala, instead of the Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, Allah Ta'ala has given us other opportunities. Recite Surah Kaf and Jummah, and Surah Ad-Dukan in the night. And Allah has given us the decoration, the jewelry, the ornaments for this day of Eid to come, Jummah. And Allah Ta'ala says that send abundance of Darood. Durood upon my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the person who in abundance sends durood upon me on Jummah, the reward is that that person is presented in front of me. Due to the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sending durood, then that person is presented his durood, and that person is son of this person, son of this person. Imagine how impure we are, and our durood will be sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a great night, big night, which I'm talking about. And what I'm trying to say, my friends, the point that I'm coming to is that this dunya that we are living in, this world that we are living in, and we all have a sort of unique style of how to live. What is that style? What is that thing that we pursue, we try to obtain? And it's natural desire of man. It's not a bad thing. And what we want is that everything we do is perfect. Is perfect. That's a trait you will see in a lot of people. There'll be nobody, if you interview and do a survey, nobody will really, you come across, will say, no, I don't want to do this perfect or correctly. For example, would you like somebody to have three wheels on the car and not have the fourth wheel? They'll say, of course, nobody prefers that. Need four wheels so we can drive the car. The car should be complete with the wheels. Will anybody like that the house you have? The house you're living in, there's no kitchen in the house and there's no toilet, bathroom, and it's your house. You say, no, no, no. How can I have this? It's got to be perfect. It's got to be a kitchen there. It's got to be a toilet there. It's got to be complete. So this is our style, isn't it? This is the way we think. If you want to get married, a man's preparing to get married, and he'll say, no, my wife, she should be perfect. Everyone's got their own sort of basis for perfection or criterion. Maybe somebody likes that that she looks like this, or my wife will look like this, and she won't have these features, etc. So everyone has desires in the heart for perfection, etc. Totally, there should be a sketch in front of me that I wanted like this. Whether it's a shop, business, occupancy, employment, everybody desires things to be perfect in his or her life, so that we get complete benefit. Is this not our basis, or am I wrong? Is this not the style that we will have, the method? You go to the shop or the shopping center marketplace, you'll look at something and then you'll knock it to here or there and just check it's solid, it's not fake, it's not going to break. All right, let's leave that. If you're going to buy a watermelon, even then you can't see, even though you can't see inside, you're turning around, looking on the outside, maybe shaking it. And what you realize, you're trying to see that, is it perfect? Is it good? So, in other words, the nature of man is that we want perfection or completeness in everything we do. Kamil, complete and perfect and in a nice way, whatever we're doing. But is this the end of perfection, restricted to this world and the habits that we have? As I said in the beginning to you, that it's a good habit, it's a good thing to attain or trying to attain perfection. But what we need to think is that I'm going to travel beyond this world, and do I not want perfection in the hereafter? Do I not want to prepare for completion in the hereafter? Do I not want to have a kamil reward or kamil life here? Because the life in the hereafter is eternal. Here we are going to live 50, 60, 70 years. Let's cut it in half. 30 years, take half. 10 years, cut in half. How much life is left in this world? Not much at all. So we are trying so hard whilst we live in this world. The best, we work hard and make effort that we want everything to be good. We want a good life. So I ask you a question now, and I ask myself a question. That is this our thinking is restrained and just restricted to this world? We are so worried about the life in this world that we want everything perfect and complete. And then let's think with an honest heart, with a honest heart. Honestly, let's think that if I think with sincerity, that -1% will come out of that analysis and survey who are preparing in such a passionate way for the hereafter. And then if a person wants his preparation and his hereafter to be perfect and complete, then obviously he will try for this, won't he? Now, for example, if you want your house to be perfect, so you'll make effort, and with effort, with striving and working, the result will come. Or say you want to be healthy. Everyone wants to be healthy, isn't it? So if you want to be healthy, obviously you will consult with somebody, a hakim or a doctor or a physician or dietitian. What should be my diet? How do I get away from disease or ill health? Obviously we do this, don't we? So there are two things, that there are the thoughts in the mind of a person that I should be perfect and correct, and after that thought there's an attempt or a try and effort that I need to gain this, or I need to get hold of this thing. Totally, isn't it? So we have a desire, we have a target, and we try so hard in this world to attain all of those targets. So what about the hereafter, the life in the hereafter, which is forever, where we are all going to go? First, do we have the right thinking with regards to the hereafter? No. All day, I've spent the whole day before now. Let's say honestly, in my thinking, have I, during the day, stopped and thought that, yaar, I need to attain perfection and completion in the preparation for the hereafter. My salah should be kamil. My tilawa should be kamil, recitation. Every action that I do, all of our ibadah should be what? Kamil, complete. Because we want completion, isn't it? Just like we want to hear. So the first point is that if I don't have these thoughts in my mind or in my heart, this desire, then we are in a severely dangerous situation. Dangerous situation. So let's think here. Either it's the whole ummah, or it's the half the ummah today. Yes, or whoever the amount of people we see, if from all of these people, one of us has not developed the thinking in our minds and hearts in the correct way for the preparation for the hereafter, we're just living our life as a routine, praying salah, ibadah, worship, etc. But I don't think in my mind at all that kamil and complete and perfect preparation I need for the hereafter. For example, in the world here, I don't want anything defective, naqs, with a defect. With a defect. So here I have to think that if I don't have this sincere desire and preparation for the hereafter, then I should do dua to Allah. I need to correct myself. I need to put myself together. That shaitan has attacked me. Shaitan has attacked me. He's taken out of my mind this point of preparing for the hereafter, worrying for the hereafter. I'm going to go to the hereafter, to the life in the hereafter. What am I going to take with us, with me? So first, the point number one is not even to have this worry is a very big thing. And if with the fadl of Allah, this fikr comes, this worry comes, then what do we need secondly? Is trying, effort. So brothers, how should we try for this? That we make our hereafter life kamil and complete, and we have a total correct life in the hereafter, full of blessings and reward, so that we can complete our spiritual, physical life in this world to go to the hereafter. Just like here, we want a nice house with good rooms, with everything fitted, all the fixtures present. In the same way, we want a life in the hereafter which is perfect, complete, without any issues. So number one, we need to have that desire, and we need to make effort for this. Yeah? So just like when we go to a doctor and we're ill, so we should consult after that. Just like when we're ill, we go to a doctor, consult. So it's obvious we have this thought and we desire the good hereafter. So the third thing we should do is mashwara. Consultation. I should consult with someone that tell me I want to prepare for my life in the hereafter, make it complete and good and perfect and nice. So this is the subject of today's discussion. That do we all want a kamil and a good life in the hereafter? We want total reward and no losses. Obviously, if we don't get complete, we won't get anything then in the hereafter, will we? Because it's permanent. Permanent. So it's extremely important, this discussion of today. And the point that I'm discussing and sharing is very important indeed for us to understand. So if we have such a situation, what amal should be in our life, which practice should be in our life, which deed should we perform, that alhamdulillah we get the good news whilst we're living in this world, that your life of the hereafter will be kamil and complete. Subhanallah. This is what we want. Definitely will be. It will be complete, full of the blessings. Definitely we can attain this. Why? Because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to this world for this very one reason. And this is what he taught us. That this is what we have. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated. And this is extremely important for us, what he told us. And without this, we cannot succeed. We cannot succeed. Can we? So let's go. Let's go to the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask. And let's seek. That what is the point? What is the teaching of the Holy Prophet ﷺ with regards to this point? The preparation for the hereafter. How we can perfect our life in the hereafter. How we can perfect it. Make it total. So now let's see here. The most valuable thing in the hereafter, in the akhirah, which will make our akhirah. Which will make our akhirah. Our hereafter. The most valuable thing upon which everything depends on our life now. The whole life in the hereafter will depend on what thing? What is that one thing? Tell me, what is that thing? That thing. Without which a person will be zero. And that is Iman. Iman. Belief. Yes, we need Iman, don't we? Here in this world, before we pass away, to be transferred into the hereafter. The first thing we need is what? Iman. The most important, significant one thing we need is Iman. And Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, we all have Iman. We are sat here, we have Iman, we have belief. And however it came with the fadl of Allah. We didn't have to make effort, trying, not giving, not taking. We were born, and alongside being born, we think and we accept that we know, and La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah was recited, and we love Allah, we accept, we believe in Allah. So we're Muslims. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. And due to this, we come to the masjids because we're Muslims. We pray salah, we read Quran, and we follow the deeni principles. Why? Because we have Iman in our hearts. And in the hereafter, Iman will be the biggest wealth in the hereafter. The biggest wealth. And through the wealth and the strength of our Iman, everything else will be weighed and performed. So the hereafter depends on the state and the condition of our Iman. So problem solved. If our Iman is complete and perfect, kamil, if our Iman is mukammil, complete, then the life of the hereafter will be complete. Basically, this is the simple equation. Yeah? What am I saying? That if our Iman is complete, then our hereafter will be totally complete. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Why? Why? Because if Iman is complete, then Salah will be complete. Quran will be complete, Hajj will be complete, and every ibadah, act of worship will be complete. And if our Iman is incomplete, then all our ibadah will be defective, will not be complete, will have gaps and holes in it, and then it won't be accepted in Allah Ta'ala's court. So we should have the most worry of every Muslim, the extreme worry for every Muslim is that our Iman should be in a good position, complete. Alhamdulillah, we pray Salah, Hajj and Zakah, we strive, but have we ever thought and stopped that I am doing this ibadah worship with the Iman I have at the moment? Look at my Iman, my belief. And I should stop for a second and ask myself that I'm going to pray Salah, that on which Iman am I doing this? How am I fulfilling my Salah? With which strength of Iman? That my Iman, is it high? Is it low? Has it stopped in a certain position? Or is it strong? Whereas every act of worship demands from us that before you practice me, that you should do your practice of me, the deed of worship says, with total yaqeen and Iman. Now those we run for Salah and Ibadat, that's become a routine, a physical routine. But as I said, do we actually stop and think for a few moments that what strength of Iman do I have in my heart that is allowing me to do these actions correctly. A mu'min, he doesn't even worry that what is the condition of my salah, what's the condition of my ibadah. Okay, fine, we're doing ibadah. We are doing acts of worship. But I need to think, we need to develop this thinking that on which strength or level of iman am I performing all the deeds of my life. Let's think here that in which condition I'm going on hajj, in which condition am I doing umrah, in which condition am I reading Quran, in which condition am I doing tabligh, in which condition I'm doing dhikr. So what's the first thing we need to do before we act out, carry out the worship actions, deeds, is iman. And if we have iman, then all our deeds are accepted. And if the deed is accepted, if iman is accepted by Allah, then all our deeds will be accepted. What guarantee do you or me or I have that our iman is complete? Please tell me so we can all benefit. Yes? So, as I said, this is not some game, is it? The game or drama, the deen of Allah, Islam, my brothers. The first thing, as I said, is that iman is the most critical component for success in the hereafter. Iman, Islam, and Ihsan. Rasulullah ﷺ taught us this. So it's so easy that if we have something in the world that is not complete, our house without the toilet or kitchen, then we have problems. We run around, we make effort, our whole life we will spend perfecting the house. By hook and crook, I need to perfect my house. And if you want to buy something, you are staying there, waiting, looking, trying to see perfection. So it's a surprise that do we have yaqeen for the hereafter in the same way? That when I'm worshipping or doing an action for the hereafter, do I not think at that time that is this action perfect or complete or in a good way? So we need to think that how much, if we compare the world and the hereafter, our life in this world and the life of the hereafter, that how much importance we lay for this world and not for the hereafter. That in the world, we cannot even see one thing. We don't want to have one thing to use in our life or to have one thing which is incomplete or not perfect. We won't even think about it. We say, no, my heart doesn't feel like this. How will I look after this? Or this thing is not strong, or it's not complete. There's something missing in the packaging, or no, it doesn't look right, it's weak, so we don't buy it. But the reality, the situation of the hereafter, compared to which this world is nothing. We don't even know the actions that will give us benefit in the hereafter, eternal and permanent. That are my actions correct? Are my actions perfect and complete? That will this salah be accepted in the hereafter? Will my worship be accepted in the hereafter? We're coming, we're going, we're coming, we're going, we're coming, we're going. We don't know what's going on. And this is the fikr and the worry I am speaking about. Do we need to think about this, my friends, or not? My brothers, that is this not important, this point of today, that we need to complete our iman? Isn't it? Am I right or wrong? We don't want to go half-half, do we? 50-50, because the deen doesn't teach us to be half-half. Oh, okay, I'll see. We'll think about it. Here, if we don't have fikr of the akhirah, we don't know about the qabr, the grave, we are totally lost in this world. If a person who is lost in the world had a little bit of worry, then he would not fall into the trap of the dunya. What should we give priority to? What should we give priority to? In every situation and second of life, we give preference and priority to the hereafter. I don't want to sin, I don't want to do wrong. For example, if this world, I get something that is not according to my liking and it's not compatible with me, even then the time will pass. But there in the hereafter, we will not be able to pass the time. We won't. So now the question comes that we all sat and we're listening, alhamdulillah. So now how do we know? What do we know that? How do we know if our iman is kamil or not? How do we know that I say my iman is kamil, is complete, is good? He says it. Oh, because I pray, I've recited the Quran. And then, no, brothers, is this a point that a Muslim who has recited the kalima, his iman is not kamil after that? No, this drama will not be accepted in Islam. I call this all deception. Deception and deceit. That Islam is not a game. It's a serious matter. Don't think Islam is cheap and we can just cheaply run our eyes over it and just forget about it after that. Don't think that the life in this world has no significance. My friends, in the hereafter we have to meet Allah. It's a totally different world. Listen carefully. So what are the signs? How do we realize? How do we know? How will I know? You know that is my iman kamil or not? Is my iman complete and perfect or not? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated a very famous hadith. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. And before doing this, saying this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of the two worlds, didn't speak in a normal fashion. He laid big importance on this statement. He didn't speak normally. It didn't speak normally, like there are many other hadith of Rasulullah. No, in a different way, the Prophet of Allah presented this hadith. How? How? He said that, I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated this. In this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this point to the Ummah. This is about Iman, my friends. It's a very important statement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. O people, listen to me. O people, listen to me. La yu'minu ahadakum hatta akuna ahabba. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, oh people, listen carefully, carefully, that you will not have kamil and complete iman. In no way will you have kamil iman. In no way will you have iman. Never. Never will you have iman. And why? What's the sign? The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will tell you the sign, that who will have kamil iman, complete iman. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون أحب إليه من ولده وولده والناس أجمعين. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Now we see a definition of the criterion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that nobody can have complete iman unless what? If you don't have complete iman, your salah is not complete, your hajj is not complete, your fasting is not complete, and if for that person nothing is complete, then in the akhirah he will get zero. Zero. So this is a very serious point we need to understand. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, why? Why? Because there's one thing that Kamil Iman, for the people of Kamil Iman, لا يؤمن أكون أحب إلي. Rasulullah ﷺ said that the person who? The person, Rasulullah ﷺ said, and in relation to me, that if I, the Prophet ﷺ said, if I, in the eyes of that person, in the heart of that person, if my love, he sketched out the whole scene, that if his love for me is not greater than his parents, his children, his family, and everybody in the world, if I am not more beloved to that person than all of these people and the whole of mankind, then he will not have complete iman. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah said this, "Min waladi wa waladi wa nasi ajma'in." That what is the first reward? That the parents and the close family, blood relations. So then after that, the wife and the children. So first is parents, then we have the wife and the children, the natural relationship. Obviously, if we love somebody, mother, father, wife, children, this is a natural love, and our life revolves around this. Why are you doing this? I'm doing this for the wife and the children. Why are you doing this? I want to take my parents on hajj. Why are you doing this? Our whole life revolves on this, doesn't it? So first and foremost, Rasulullah SAW put them at the forefront, that I will bring them. وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, after the uncles, aunties, friends and colleagues, associates, all the people after that. So Rasulullah said, take all of these people, not just love them, but Rasulullah said that my love should be over and above them, overwhelming their love. The Rasulullah said that if your love for me, O Muslim, is not more than the love you have for your parents and your family and your children and the whole of mankind, then you will not have kamil iman. So do we understand here the basis? That the basis for complete iman is what? Is the love for Rasulullah, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. End of story. And this is the seal for this point. Whose salah is greatest? Who has the greatest love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Whose hajj is the greatest? Not just afdal, qabool, accepted, kamil. That the person who loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the most, then the center point of the acceptance of our life and to perfect our hereafter is the physical being of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How? More than mother, more than father, more than relatives, more than everybody else. How will our love be greater for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more over and above everyone else? The muhaddithin have commented on this point. They've written that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love, how? His hukam, his order, his obedience, imitating him, obeying his orders, listening to his statements, to obey him, to follow him, to imitate him, and Rasulullah's hukam, his orders, all of these insan in the world, all of the love we have for the people in the world, nothing should restrict us from implementing the order of Rasulullah. Wherever Rasulullah's order is ittaba, imitate him, obey him, follow him, then doesn't matter who comes in front or position, the mother, father, children and relatives, if they order us not to do, then we have to say sorry, put yourself to the side, because I have to obey Rasulullah. First we'll have to imitate the Prophet ﷺ. We have to obey the Prophet ﷺ. We have to follow the Prophet ﷺ. And that person who lives his life on this basis, then Rasulullah said, I guarantee that your iman is complete, and the rest is a drama. Allah's Nabi ﷺ, to accept his order, to obey his order, the father's order, the mother's order, the children's order request. Nobody's order can come in between us and the order of the Prophet ﷺ. Nothing should be an obstruction or a restriction to implement the orders of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And Rasulullah ﷺ said that if a person lives his life like this, then he has kamil iman. Kamil iman. Complete salah. Complete deeds. Complete worship. Complete ibadah. Now, what do we have? We have one sign, my friends. One. And we can totally analyze ourselves. That what is the basis of my life? My ibadat, my worship. That is my life in accordance to the Prophet Muhammad's lifestyle and his orders and his instructions? Or does do my desires come in between and nafs or other restrictions? I have to think about this. We need to think about this. That this cannot be kamil iman, is it? Can it? If we're not living our lives in the correct way. And another point is that there's no part of life, there's no sector or phase of life in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's obedience and imitation and following him does not come. Because he came as a total example for mankind. So what a deception. There's not a second of our life, not a second, not an hour. Take appearance, libas, attire, walking, talking, business, employment, or eating, drinking, rights, mother, father, society, business, interaction with people. There's not one second of life fulfilling the rights of people, haq, muamalat, tijara, business, buying, selling, transactions, rules, principles. There's not a second of life where we can say, oh, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't guide us on this. Okay, let's imitate this person. Let's follow this person. Question does not arise. This is impossible. Because for everything, Rasulullah ﷺ stated that here practice like this, here do this, and here leave this, and here don't do this, and here follow me in this way. And a second, if we go away from that, we say, oh, what will the world say? What will my wife say? My children? I'm forced to do the wrong. What will this person say? Then the kamil iman will not remain, and my iman will have no value. And it will not assist me in the hereafter. And if we live our life in this way, doesn't matter what situations befall a person, what conditions arise, Rasulullah ﷺ came to this world, and he came, before he came, some people were united on one aqaid, on a lifestyle, and it's very hard to change the aqeedah of people. Those people who are worshipping stones and rocks, then they will continue to worship the rocks, and they will say, oh, my water is coming from here, my sustenance is coming from here. So it's the most difficult to improve and change the iman aqeedah of people. So what did Rasulullah do himself? What a great result. Rasulullah said, who are you worshipping? Who are you accepting as your gods? Come to me, accept one Allah, accept me as your prophet. You are worshipping and bowing in front of the wrong things. Worship and bow in front of Allah. So the first thing they did was to crush their aqeedah. They said, Labaik, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we accept you as the prophet of Allah. And whatever you're telling us, that is Allah. He is Allah. He is Ma'bud, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So life, we didn't just get iman automatically. And after saying this, what did they do? The Sahaba Ikram, we know what happened and how they attained perfection. To accept the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what they had to give away, what they had to assign away, on the first second, this is what they did. And then imagine their great lives after that. If we look at history, when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted in his what he was saying, and they crushed their wrong aqidah, their wrong beliefs, and they came into Islam, what they had to give away. And then the second order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the first order was have iman, and then the second action, second order, Rasulullah said, leave this place, leave Makkah and do hijrat. Do migration, migrate to where? And then in those days, Madinatul Manawwara, it was called Yathrib. And Yathrib is a place of darkness or hardship or difficulty. And today we can't say or use the word Yathrib, because the Muhaddithin, the scholars have said that we can't call this blessed city Yathrib. We say Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. We don't call Medina with its old name. Address. So none of the Sahaba said, oh Prophet of Allah, oh let's leave this, oh we can't do this. When Nabi said leave Makkah, what did that mean? Leave your house, leave your property, leave your wife if you have to, your family, leave your animals, leave your property, your assets, and the things you had for generations, decades, where you were born, your culture, your lifestyle, leave everything. Where do we go? So the Prophet explained and instructed, leave everything that you have. This is the hukum of Allah, that leave this place. Leave this place. And that place, go to the city what you've never seen or lived. So how did they implement this instruction? How? They just did it like that, automatically, because they had Kamil Iman. Total Iman. They had the hukum, the order of the Prophet. They went. They didn't look at their house and their valuables and their assets and their gardens. They didn't even look back. Rather, they went forward. That, subhanAllah, this, even if they didn't have a blanket, a person went out without blanket or covering, a person went without his clothes or without shoes, and the people went without horses or without transportation, without anything, and they were walking barefoot to Medina. So this is Islam. This is the test. And after a little bit of a test, we say, oh, what's going to happen now? It's too difficult for me. I can't do this. It's hard. Look, one hukum of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and that order falls onto a person of Iman, and he doesn't accept. He says, oh, I'm full, so I can't do it. It's hard for me. Hard for us. And after some days, that person will see in his or her grave that what is the result of my Iman. Will that person be able to answer the questions? Man Rabbuka? Man Rasulukum? Man Deenukum? My brothers, this life is very important. We have to live it in a correct way. We need to be serious about preparation for thereafter. Take all of the companions, none of them rejected or refused. They left, and their homes were left, their articles were left, their possessions were left. Look at the hukum of Rasulullah and how they fulfilled it, accepted it, implemented it. Let's go forward, further. That further, there was a new qawm, a new nation. They didn't know them. They weren't aware of them. And there, the muhajireen came to Medina. And the people of Medina at that time said, who are these people? Where have they come from? Who are these people? But because they knew and they believed in Rasulullah, they said, oh, these people are coming from Mecca. They've migrated. So look at the instruction of Rasulullah. So what is the instruction for the Ansar? For the muhajireen is that they left Mecca. The Ansar, let's read history. You cannot imagine. Compare the example of the Ansar to any other people. So what happened? The Ansar sat and the Muhajirin sat, and Rasulullah said, oh Ansar, these are the Muhajirin. They have migrated, and they are your brothers. And they said, yes, we believe and accept they are our brothers. So what should you do? Whatever you have in your possession, half is for them and half is yours. Subhanallah. And they said, oh Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for you, we have borne all difficulties, and these people, they will come, the muhajireen, the sahaba, they will sit on our houses and we will give them food to eat and we'll accept them. And did they say, we're doing a boycott, we're going on a strike, sorry, we're not listening to you. No. Sorry, enough for us is that you are our Nabi and all of what is our homes, and you're even taking that away from us. Oh, we're going to leave Islam. Did the sahaba ikram of the Ansar say this? No, but our hal today is the same. How? That they could have said, oh Prophet of Allah, we've sacrificed so much, and the people in our city, the enemies with us, the non-people who don't believe, and there's politics, we have problems, and now you're saying on top of that let's give half of all our possessions to the muhajireen? Subhanallah, how did they distribute so much? They did that half the person with two wives, he said, one wife is yours and one wife is mine. Allahu Akbar. Can we see an example like this in the world until today? Why? Because it was the hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the order of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is called obedience and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Totally it comes into the life of a person. Totally. And here we don't see this in our muamalat. Let's look at the history. The whole deen that succeeded, let's look back in history, it was hinged on one point. One point, that what did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? And the sahaba accepted without any preconditions. Without any complaints. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via wahi kept on telling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do this, this is Islam, this is the deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would communicate this to the third person. And the third person wouldn't say, oh, what does this mean? Oh, why are you saying this? No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us this. That's it. I don't need to look for any other hint or direction. I'm just going to follow the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the sign of Kamil Iman. Kamil Iman. So my friends, my brothers, this is a very straightforward masala, very simple, that if a person wants to complete his Iman, it will not be completed via Ibadah. That's it. The stamp Allah has applied. That none of your Ibadah, worship will be, none of your Iman will not be completed or perfected through Ibadah. Rather, the contaminated Ibadah without a complete Iman will not be accepted by Allah. It will affect our lives. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah Ta'ala says that what is the criterion, what is the condition for Allah Ta'ala's love? Allah says that when you come to my court and you will claim that Allah, I loved you. Allah, I loved you, accepted you, my Rabb. Allah will say, how? Allah, I prayed for you, I did hajj for you, I used to do your dhikr, I used to recite Quran, or I used to do this action, A, B, C, D, E. Allah, day and night, I used to work for you, make effort for you. And I was living according to your desire. I used to rub my forehead on the ground, tahajjud time. Allah, I can show, I can prove that I loved you. Allah Ta'ala will say that all of your claim is rejected. There was one sign of the acceptance of my love, and that was your life being lived in accordance to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is this not the Quran? Allah Ta'ala said, I will not accept any of your claims or your ibadat or your worship without this one primary point. Allah says, I need the dalil, the proof for your point. Because when we make a claim, what do we need? When you make a claim in the dunya, you need proof. If you say to me, I love you, I'll say, dalil, give me the proof. And everyone can say this, oh, I love you, I like you. So what proof do we have for the love of Rasulullah? That, oh, I shout out loudly, subhanallah, when I hear something good. What dalil is this? Oh, the Prophet, when you are mentioned in a bayan, then I cry. Ah, what great proof this is for iman. Oh, Rasulullah, when you are mentioned, or when Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is done, oh, my heart is burning at that time, and I feel the love. Allah Ta'ala says, is this ishq, is this love? There's only one proof. Then there's only one proof that can claim our perfection of iman, that your every breath is obedience to the Prophet. Walking, talking, eating, drinking, attire, libas, worship, appearance, everything in our life should be in accordance to what Rasulullah said. Like, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِيُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Listen, O generation of today, people, Muslims, me, you, everybody, let's take a big peak deception out of our lives. One thing, Rasulullah has told us, because we will claim one thing in front of Allah, won't we? Just one, that Allah, are you pleased with us? Allah, are you pleased with me? We have one fikr and worry. Allah, do you love us? Allah, do you love us? And there on the Day of Judgment we'll realize that on one side is paradise, on the other is hellfire. And both sides, the projects in this world are being implemented. Here we're just talking, aren't we? And there we will see the result, that we'll see the gardens. People see the gardens of paradise. So you'll see the roads there, and on the left and on the right. That's why Allah loves us so much that we claim that we love Allah and that we have kamil iman. Allah says, bring proof. We say, Allah will give you many proofs. Allah says, there's only one dalil. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِيُونِ يُحُبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala gave such a big dalil. And Allah said that following this dalil and implementing this condition, I will give you all of the rules of the world. Allah Ta'ala says, if you live your life after accepting my Quran, a foolish person, I gave you the rule there. يَغْفِرْ لُكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, that I forgave all of your sins there and then in the world. So why are you worried now about anything else? That Allah Ta'ala said, you had a perfect life and you had perfect love for me. Allah Ta'ala says, so Allah says, I gave you the rewards, all of them in the world while you were living. So why are you seeking more? So my friends, let's change our direction. Let's change our thinking. Let's change our desires, improve ourselves, and grab hold of one lifestyle that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how did he live his life in this world? How shall I do this action? Ask the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We asked a Mulana or a Peer or a Sheikh. That's what we do, don't we? There is one thing, one guide, one direction. The order of Allah, and we obey and follow in the way and the manner of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. End of story. Everyone else are information sources. The alim who gives you the right, or the sheikh or the Sufi who gives you the right reply and guidance, then he's the best scholar, best sheikh, best peer. That sheikh, that scholar, that peer who guides on the path of sunnah, he's the best muhaddith, the best scholar, the best qari, the best mufassir, the best commentator, the best sheikh. Everyone are the best, these names have given, if they guide for us how to live our lives in accordance to the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is the summary of the perfect life, that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the perfect guide for us. And what love should we drive in the heart? The love of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How? That one order is coming, and the whole of the dunya is in front of us, and it's hard for us to practice. Here I've given the example. This is not some folk tale that I'm going through. The lives of the Sahaba was not some children's game. Allah Ta'ala said that after the Sahaba, the different generations will come. Darkness will come. Heavy clouds will come. Strong winds will come. Darkness will come. But subhanAllah, be strict and adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time. Don't shake. Don't wilt. Don't shudder. In the same way you're going to get milk from a shop, you'll see it's raining heavily, the clouds have come together, and you are going to buy milk at the shop for the children. You say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's going to rain. But I've got some heat at home, so I'll go through the cold and the wind and the rain, and in the love of my children, I'll go and leave to buy the milk from the shop, and then I'll come back. My clothes are wet, and I'm in a bad cold situation. Skin is cold, but I'll come back, even if I get ill. But alhamdulillah, I'll do this for the sake of the children. Allah Ta'ala says, this is the same thing. Doesn't matter if the storm comes, a hurricane comes, strong winds come, and problems come, and competition comes, or people, or criticism comes, but continue to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and don't stop. No storm will stop you. No lightning will make you scared. And nothing will make you go away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. Just take hold of one path in life, that is obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, I in the heavens today guarantee to you one thing. I guarantee to you one thing. What? That you, if your life, live your life like this, Allah Ta'ala says that when you come to me, then it will not be empty. Yuhabibkumullah. You will be that person who Allah Ta'ala loved in the world. Imagine what a great guarantee. Allah Ta'ala was the ashik in this way. Not that I used to love, Allah used to love. Allah says that story ended in the world. That your love, your life of love ended in the world. But today when you come to me in the hereafter, Allah says, I will show the whole of mankind, this is that person that I love. Allah, why? Why do you love me? And why do you love this person? Allah Ta'ala will say, because he loved my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my friends. But no, we are in deception today. Such a big deception, dhoka, that we have taken hold of the wrong path in opposition to the right path. We are wasting our time in life, wasting our time. That's it. Whenever we desire to do an action, we should do it with kamil iman. Whenever we carry out an action, do it with what, my friends? Kamil iman. Complete iman. And what's the sign of complete iman? That what was that person doing? He's living his life in imitation and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever ibadah we do in following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be kamil and complete. It will be perfect. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you all as well. Ameen.